Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster. Thanks for stopping by. This is going to be a really good show. I think you're going to dig it. So let's get into it, shall we? In 2011, my guest and his team started an online store that offered posters with motivational quotes, and they called this store Startup Vitamins. The success of Startup Vitamins pushed the team to want to branch out and start selling apparel, and they wanted to do it the same way they did with posters, on demand. Unfortunately, at this time, there weren't any services that would print on-demand apparel and be able to consistently supply quality products. So they did like any good entrepreneurs, and they created their own company, now called Printful. My guest is the co-founder and CEO of Printful. They're an on-demand dropshipping company that makes it easy for anyone to sell custom print products online. He co-founded Printful in 2013 to solve his own problem. And in just 6 years, he's grown the company from 5 to 500 employees across the USA, Latvia, and Mexico. Now, let's hack David Sixnuns. Just before we jump into the show with Davis, I want to thank Pantheon, the sponsor of today's show. Because whether you are developing your personal brand, building your own business, or working for a large organization, your online presence is critical to your success. Pantheon is the leading web ops provider, powering more than 285,000 websites and trusted by small businesses, startups, and some of the most well-known brands like Coach and the ACLU. Rated as a leading product for both small businesses and enterprises, and named one of the top 10 software products of 2019 by G2 Crowd, Pantheon's WebOps platform helps you build, manage, and optimize your most important brand asset, your website. Whether you're just beginning to build your dream or you're already well on your way, Pantheon can help you deliver the best online experience and future-proof your digital presence. Learn more at pantheon.io/hack. That's pantheon.io/hack. All right, let's get into the show. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest. Davis, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Awesome. Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. So let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
Davis, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, I work in a technology industry, and I think from an early age, I was very interested in the basics of programming, and I also taught myself the basics of programming. And when I was 13, I coded websites initially for friends and people in my neighborhood. One of my neighbors was a carpenter, and so I built a simple website for him to represent his business. And that interest and basic knowledge of programming and the basics of it really helped me in the later stages of career to then build cool new products. And I think that would be the biggest thing, but there are other things. And one would be being a continuous learner. I'm reading books. I'm listening to the podcast a lot to just continuous learn about new things. And, you know, I didn't stay with the basics of programming. I kept on learning about all the things else necessary for being a successful entrepreneur, such as marketing, building the team, and et cetera.
Right. Which seems to be, I mean, that's more your thing than sort of like the CTO side of the business, right? You're the CEO, and you've also worked with other people and helped other people with their marketing.
Right. Increasingly now, but in those early days when you're starting something new, I think the technology part is very much important. Right now we have obviously a head of engineering that leads our IT project management team and all the software developers. For a very long time, I was the one managing that team. And managing them was way easier because you can speak their language. I think they respect you more as a leader because you understand what is the thing they're doing. And I think ultimately we built a better product. And when we look at Printful's competitive landscape, there's several competitors who cropped up after seeing the success of us, but I think we still have the best product from a technology standpoint. And that stems from our early and continuous emphasis on programming. And in our industry, which is also like physical hard goods, like that is one way to stand out by building something so technology advanced that others would not be able to copy that. Like if you want to build a defensible business, you really should invest in technology behind that business because it's one of the hardest things to copy.
Exactly. And I mean, the further you get along, the higher the barrier to entry for new competitors.
Yeah.
Because they have to catch up to you. Like with marketing, it's like, well, we can just get a bunch of money and throw a bunch of money into marketing and outmarket you if we need to right now by spending money. But we need time and money to catch up to you technologically.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's just building, you know, extremely difficult things. And marketing, certain marketing tactics could be somewhat defensible too, and certain relationships for sure. And we were lucky in forming early relationships with some of the big players in e-commerce industry, such as Shopify. So we got lucky in there, but we built that relationship over the entire lifetime of our company. So for somebody new to come in and to forge that new relationship with Shopify, now it's more difficult because we were early on, so we were sort of one of the first ones representing our specific niche for them and their customer base.
Right, and you were doing it really, really, really well.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, and for them and Shopify and others, like it mattered that they would partner up for a company of similar DNA, and we admired them, obviously, as a company. And their DNA is being technology superior to others. Their CEO is a software developer. And several other people from their C-level executive suite, I think, have also been software developers in the past. And you can see that their product is often technology superior to many else. And I think on that level, at least we, you know, have the same understanding, our thoughts are similar, which ultimately helped to build that relationship. We have the emphasis of good technology product, and they obviously like to recommend something that works.
And they're Canadian, so they're just generally nice.
They're nice. I mean, the CEO is actually from Germany, so...
Oh, really? I didn't even know. Oh, well, see, I'm a Canadian, so I was just like, ah, they're one of us. It's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So that's sort of like, tells us how you did it. Roughly, it's 2019. Everybody, for the most part, within e-commerce or even just online at this point has heard of Printful. But it's been sort of an iterative process. Can you sort of walk us through that journey? Like where did Printful come from?
Right. So this is our sixth year. We launched 6 years ago, but we came from a startup incubator of sorts. The founders of Printful, which is me and Lars Liberts and Agris Tamanis, which we all are Latvian, we are from Riga, Latvia, and we come from Draugiem Group. And that's a Latvian name, but it stands for means in English for friends. Because in 2004, Lauris Liberts, one of the founders, launched a social network by taking the idea of the first ever social network, Friendster, from the US and localizing that idea for Latvian markets. And we, you know, they didn't stop there. We kept launching new business ideas in hardware and internet and tech space. It's hard to count them all up, but roughly 100 business ideas over the course of 15 years, right?
Wow.
And then several of those businesses were successful, generating cash, et cetera. You know, 15 years ago in a small country like Latvia, venture didn't exist. The way you kept the business going is by generating profit, right? And we were lucky that by the time we got to the Printful that some of these other businesses were generating enough money. So we didn't have to raise initial funding because initial founders contributed to the founding and funding of business. And the way we got it to Printful was that one of those 100 business ideas that we kept on launching was Starter Vitamins, which is still around and is a part of Printful. We kept it around as a legacy, which is an online e-commerce store, which we initially built on Shopify, that sold motivational posters for other startup internet companies with motivational quotes. And again, this, even that idea was because we needed it ourselves. We moved to a new office, wanted to put up some cool posters. And Lars was printing them initially at his home with his wife in Los Angeles. And every day he would bring them down to the local United States Postal Service there. And posters are great because you do not need inventory, just really a paper. And it's one of the best on-demand products you could do. But the biggest category that is sold on the internet in e-commerce is apparel. So in 2011 and 12, when we started Starter Vitamins, we wanted to expand into apparel. And we were looking who can do it on demand because we really liked the fact that posters are on demand. And at the time, a company like that didn't exist. There were companies who would print stuff for you, but they were some of these legacy mom and pop printers often that didn't optimize their service for e-commerce sellers. And being a tech company and tech background, something that was necessary for us was automation so that every order that we received ultimately flows to that printing partner. And we tried a couple of services and they were so slow and the quality was not there. And most importantly, automation was not there. And we could just give that up. And we thought, if we as Vitamins have this need, there must be out there tens of hundreds or thousands of other small e-commerce shops like us who have the same exact need. And turns out that there was. And when we launched Printful, one of our initial marketing channels was actually the mailing list and the buyers of Starter Vitamins audience, which was a good audience fit because Starter Vitamins attracted entrepreneurs, startups, etc. And our pitch basically was, do you want to start your own online e-commerce store for printed products on a similar niche like Starter Vitamins? You can target another niche, I don't know, athletics needs, etc. And that was a good fit. And we launched in 2013. And we were lucky to get TechCrunch article for that launch. And the title of the article said, from the Starter Vitamins team, a new service Printful is launched. Just indicating that at the time, Starter Vitamins was more well-known in the community of tech and startups than Printful, obviously. And the rest is kind of history. A lot of companies talk about having a product market fit, but I think we saw a product market fit from the early days. And we were generating revenue from day one, and the revenue just doubled every other month. And we kept growing, buying equipment and adding new products, integrating with new e-commerce platforms, building new locations around the world, and et cetera.
So you started, when you guys started Printful, though, you were from day one printing your own and fulfilling your own orders.
Yes, that was a choice to build it like that because when we tried existing services, they just didn't meet our quality standards. We felt that would be the best and easiest. And turns out that was the right choice because we can control the quality and stand by the quality. We just didn't like the fact that, like, if we used an outsourced printing partner and our customers would write us and say, well, there's a problem with the printing quality of this product. And then we would not be able to do much because we don't own that part. But now we're able to act on customer feedback. And that really informed our strategy and decisions about what products to add, what new equipment to buy, et cetera. I think it made us stronger, but we also required us to make serious investments in printing equipment. But luckily, we're able to afford that.
Right. And so from needing your own posters for your new office to printing those posters to t-shirts to making your own t-shirt company, it's like slowly moving up the supply chain. Is Printful, like, do you go further than there or? Did Printful, you hit it and you're like, okay, this is where we stop. We don't have to keep going up. We don't have to start making t-shirts.
Well, in a sense, we are with our cut and sew offering. So our t-shirts, so a lot of t-shirts we print is where we get a blank from a larger wholesaler and print on that using digital printing technology. but we also have a cut and sew t-shirts where we literally have fabric in three of our facilities. We would cut and sew that fabric using in-house sewers, literally construct an all over printed t-shirt. So there's product categories where we're becoming more vertically integrated. And we've done that in the past, and in the categories where it makes sense, we will do that in the future, because there has been several vertically integrated successful companies. To name a few that comes to mind is Lululemon and Fanatics, which intelligently mix certain things of their process where they outsource certain things and certain things where they insource, ultimately to deliver better margins for the business.
Right, right. Where do you guys have fulfillment facilities at this point?
We have four. We seem to launch at least one every year. Our existing facility in Los Angeles, we moved in there in 2015. In 2016, we moved, or not moved, opened a new facility in Charlotte, North Carolina, just to send products faster to the East Coast. You know, speed of shipping really does matter in e-commerce. And then in 2017, we launched a facility in Riga, Latvia. That is where we always had an office, and we will continue to have the office, but we didn't have a facility just to send products faster across the European continent to, for our customer base to provide extra fees on a border, on importing on that. And last year, we launched a facility in Tijuana, Mexico, which is a cut and sew facility where we produce leggings. And our customers can choose whether they want those leggings produced in the U.S. or Mexico, or we give them an option. And Mexico had helped us to expand our capacity in our cut and sew line because the demand was there growing, and it was difficult to find sewing labor in the U.S. A lot of that labor has moved into other countries.
Right, right. And what's the size of the team overall, roughly, right now?
Every week somebody joins, but right now it's 500 people plus globally in all our locations and office. Fastest growing ones are in Charlotte, which is our sort of a mega facility, and Riga, Latvia, where we doubled in size in an employee count from the last year.
Wow. Wow. How does your position as CEO, well, I mean, making t-shirts with Startup Vitamins to starting Printful to now, just a few years later, I mean, a team of 500 people. How does your position as CEO change from that sort of day one starting to now?
And dramatically. That's why we like to hire people who are learners and able to scale with the company, because people's jobs change a lot with the scale. So it used to be that I would manage marketing, IT, design, et cetera, teams directly, but I quickly hired managers to replace me. But since I've done that job before, I was able to onboard them faster and quicker. So right now, obviously, I set strategy, manage the executive team, and do not engage in sort of day-to-day project execution as much as I did in the past. For me, it's to motivate the team and coach them and hire and select the best leaders in the organization, and to just help the managers to do the same in their separate teams they're managing. And it's interesting because my job is changing all the time, right? The last 2 years is not going to be like the next 2 years, and it's exciting.
Right, exactly. No, your job is changing all the time, which means I'm sure you as just a human being and as an entrepreneur need to change all the time as well, to not only adapt, but also to stay ahead of the company so that you don't sort of get run over by it and it goes out of control. Do you, at this point, like, do you use coaches, consultants, advisors personally?
Yes. We have actually our HR director here in Latvia I think she got a certificate to be a coach, right? So she's doing some internal coaching for our managers especially. And there's a lot of internal knowledge sharing that needs to be done at the company. And we emphasize that, like, still to this day, I try to speak to every month, I speak to all the new members of Printful about productivity, which is a topic and passion of mine, of all the tools and productivity systems, such as David Allen's Getting Things Done system, and also about company history to give them sort of extended version from the source, how we got here and why we do things in a certain way. Externally, we don't have a board of directors up until this point. And now at the size we're at, now we're now starting to look for potential candidates for board of directors. We have actually identified two and are looking to bring that knowledge and experience on board. But in the past, I think a lot of advice I've gotten through books and podcasts and by connecting to people at various e-commerce conferences and just get that knowledge that way. Another aspect, as we grow, I think a lot of underutilized, maybe it's more of a standard in the US, but a lot of people I hear in Latvia explain, there's a lot of public companies out there, and a lot of the information they are required to release publicly. And routinely, I would listen to quarterly calls of Shopify or other companies in our space to get insights directly from the CEO of Shopify or their chief operations officer that also speaks on that call. Or like I look at Etsy's investor relationships slides and try to understand how they're looking at their market and the development of that. One of our suppliers, Cornet, that sells digital printing tech, is also public. And they list a lot of great information in order to communicate to their investors, but the industry professionals would just benefit from reading that. And I find that information incredibly insightful.
That's an interesting way to go about it, especially, own a share and you get to go on the call and listen directly to the CEO explaining.
You don't need to own any shares to go on those calls. Those calls are public, even if you don't own anything.
Oh, wow. I've always just heard of them as shareholder calls.
They are quarterly investor updates, but you're not necessary to be an investor. I think you have to be an investor to show up to annual shareholders meeting, but there's still a lot of information they release outside of that. Because the goal, and I think SEC regulates it, and that says every investor should be on the same level playing field. So every investor should have access to the same amount of information that even the big hedge funds get access to. That's why that all information is public.
Wow. So I've had nearly 500 CEOs on the show, and I've never heard that as an answer. I like it. It's probably what people do. They just haven't mentioned it. And that's an amazing way to get like direct insights from some really, really smart people who are sort of where you want to be.
Yeah, correct. As a minority shareholder, you might not ask questions at that quarterly call, but you hear a lot of great questions from big investors who actually get to ask questions during that quarterly update.
Exactly. So let's move to projects, if we can, Davis. Projects is a loose term. So whether it's going to be starting up a whole new fulfillment facility or it's new marketing projects or new product. At a team your size and as the CEO, I would love to know either how you deal with it and are part of it or how you sort of structured the teams so that ideas can kind of flow upwards or wherever they flow from and how sort of a decision is made that an idea is now worth the team's and the company's time, energy, and resources to execute on.
I think going back to what I was talking about, Draugen Group and the incubator, I think we're sort of unique in that sense that there could be ideas that are completely outside of Printful. Employees can sort of jump ship to those group companies that are legally separate or even make a new company. And we had several examples of that in the past. For I was involved in a group 4 years prior to starting Printful. So I actually worked on time trapping applications, other e-commerce businesses, iOS and Android apps as well. So I had a varied experience before, and I think that's great. And for me, I always try to choose things that I'm passionate about. One thing that I'm passionate beyond e-commerce was building mobile apps, and I have built a couple of ones just for fun. They never really became big businesses. I mentioned that I was passionate about productivity, so I built Later Better Reminders app with a couple of friends, which is a simple reminders app on an iPhone. So I look at things that you're passionate about. And if I'm looking at a new project within the company, ideally put someone in charge of that is passionate about it. And that increases the likelihood of success. When we look at other projects that Printful itself can do, there needs to be sufficiently large opportunity there. For instance, if that business is only going to, that new avenue is only going to generate like $1 million worth of extra revenue per year, that's probably not the right opportunity for us. We need to really be tackling larger opportunities. You can sort of think of that, look at the way in Amazon, what, $130+ billion of revenue. If somebody in Amazon comes up with a $500 million a year idea, that could be a lower priority for them because it's not moving the needle enough for a company of that size. Nowhere near those levels, but me again, I'd like our team to research like how big is that market? Like if you're going to go and integrate with this new e-commerce platform, for instance, we integrate with 14. Our business development team researches or tries to get as much as information possible, how many users they have, what is the gross merchandise volume that is moved across their platform, how much of their users we can access, and how much revenue that ultimately is going to generate. And that informs which e-commerce platforms we're going to prioritize. So we are really trying to look where possible from a revenue standpoint for all these new ideas.
Right. So that it's, like you said, so it's worth it. Otherwise, you're just better off focusing on projects and sort of platforms you might already be integrated with and how you can enhance those.
Right, exactly. And then we have a financial analysis team as well. And you know, it's not enough just to look at the percentage gross rates. It's really important to look at the dollar terms gross rate. Because something might, because it's already sufficiently large, might be growing at a lower rate. And something small might be growing at 300% year on year, but it doesn't mean that we should be focusing on that 300% year on year thing because it's not generating enough new dollars for that. Because at the end of the day, the dollar gross is what matters.
Right, right. Fair enough. All right, Davis. Well, this has been an absolute blast. I appreciate it. I would love to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Yes.
It's this idea in working with Davis called the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be, after interviewing hundreds and hundreds of people now, that there's this gap that we often live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, where no matter what we seem to accomplish in business and even personally, we never seem to see ourselves as successful because we set these goals and no matter what goal or metric you want to hit in 3 months or 6 months, you and I both know that right before you hit that goal, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future. I agree that we need these goals and we need to push forward for them. But rather than looking forward for the next couple of minutes, Davis, I would love it if you could stop and turn around and look behind you at this entire journey, the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses. But tell me how you feel about everything up until today.
I completely agree how you stated that question. That's, you know, you never feel content or it isn't enough. You always, there's a higher goal. But I think I feel pretty good about how we got here up until this point. I think we built one of the largest print-on-demand companies in the U.S. and increasingly over the world, and printed more than 10 million items. But something that makes me happier more recently is the team. That it's not just a company we build, but I see a lot of people joining Printful, and it's just delightful to watch their careers unfold. Where somebody joins an entry-level position and then becomes a senior, then a manager, and they're leading really, really large departments. So we're making a difference in many, many people's lives and careers where they can flourish. And that is on the team side. And another aspect that I really like is as part of our industry where we're at, where there's these small, medium-sized merchants trying to make an extra income online. And we have many examples where somebody has hustled their way to a full-time income using print-on-demand or e-commerce. And it is nice that we enable independence of thousands of people around the world just by using Printful. And that is also great and rewarding to watch.
Awesome answer. So we've talked about Printful all throughout this, Davis. You just mentioned how people are coming on board and starting sort of from scratch and creating these huge, quite large businesses around it. Could you sort of give the listener out there right now the pitch for Printful?
Yeah, well, in simple terms, we print t-shirts and other print products for online e-commerce stores. So anybody who wants to do that doesn't have to invest in expensive inventory, equipment, and warehouses and staff. We just make it easy for somebody to launch an online e-commerce store.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Printful.com is the site. Startup Vitamins, we also talked about. I'll link to that as well. And everything else that we talked about in the show notes. Davis is also on LinkedIn and Twitter. I'll find links to those as well for you, and I'll put them on the show notes. Davis, once again, thanks for taking the time to stop by and chat. Thanks for sharing so openly. I truly appreciate it. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is truly awesome to watch.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And hopefully it was a good and help is going to help some people to get inspired.
I have to admit, I was caught a little off guard when Davis told me that Printful started as Startup Vitamins, because I wasn't aware of that. And one of my favorite t-shirts, it's completely worn out at this point, is a Startup Vitamins shirt. And that was kind of cool, I thought. Although, obviously, he's completely overshadowed that company with the creation of Printful and just the staggering growth that they've found. But it made for an interesting, fun conversation, and a conversation that covered a lot of ground, a lot of things. And now we've got the hard part, the hard job we have of going back through the conversation and pulling out just one of the many, many, many things that Davis said, and then maybe discussing it for a bit. All right, I'm ready. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Routinely, I would listen to quarterly calls of Shopify or other companies in our space to get insights directly from the CEO of Shopify or their chief operations officer that also speaks on that call. Or like I look at Etsy's investor relationships slides and try to understand how they're looking at their market.
And that's the hack. Davis. Wow. How has this never been mentioned yet on the show? How have I never thought of doing this? I've only ever thought of doing it as like an investor and listening as an investor, but the insights, the direct line to the thinking, the insights, the actions of CEOs, CFOs, CMOs, COOs, whatever it happens to be, from these companies that you want to enter markets like them, like he says Shopify, he says Etsy, any company that's public, has gone public with their stock, has these calls, publishes this information, and it is in the public domain. That, like, the information that you could consume from these people and seeing them from the time, like, they go public to growth, just exponential growth, and seeing why they do it, how they do it, what their expenses are, how they're sort of projecting ahead. This is amazing. I'm actually baffled by the fact that this hasn't been discussed. Nearly 500 episodes at this point, and we haven't talked about this. I feel like we should just have people on the show and just discuss this. And the different companies you can go and gain insights from. But this is it. If you want to get into the e-commerce space, Shopify is the company you should be looking at. If you want to get into the fitness space, if you want to get into the apparel space, if you want to get into the health space, there's companies covering all of this. You need to just look up their quarterly financials, dig into the data, dig into the information that's there, consume it, take it in, learn from it, and then use it to make more educated, informed decisions for yourself and your own company. I love it. Davis, thank you so very, very much. All right, well, that was a lot of fun. I truly, truly enjoyed that. As much as I hope that you are enjoying your summer, wherever you happen to be, wherever you happen to be listening to this, I hope it's going well for you and things are good. Make sure to check out our sponsor, too. They're what keep this whole show going. Pantheon.io/hack. And yeah, they can help you in your business and your marketing move forward faster. Also, when you're done that, maybe head over to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Get onto that email list, and you can check out Davis's show notes over there. Everything we mentioned, will track down links to it, and check out Startup Vitamins. It's pretty cool. You might find a shirt you like as much as I like mine. Hard to say. All right. It's been a blast. I truly appreciate you stopping by, as always. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur. We'll be right back.